Hey everyone, welcome back to your next episode of Organize Your Stuff. I'm so glad you're here today. I have a great guest with us today, Valerie Ricour. She is a productivity coach. She works with overwhelmed and overcommitted women like myself and maybe some of you who are listening. She has two young kids, very young, a husband, and her own business, and occasionally she has a life outside of all of that. If you're feeling pulled in too many directions like most of us, she's there to help, and she is a major time giver and a decision maker. In this episode, we talk about managing chores and tasks within families, but also managing that virtual learning world that we're all kind of struggling with today. And on top of all of that, you still have household tasks and work life to balance. How do we get it all done, and how do we know what's important? So we jump into that. We will share some great tips and advice for all of us. So let's take a listen now. I like that you're a time giver, so let's jump into that, Valerie.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here. I think the first thing that I want everybody to know is that this is hard. And let's just acknowledge that. Let's just accept that this is hard. And I know many parents out there probably just feel like they're failing something or someone every day, whether it's they're focused on work and their kids aren't getting the attention, or they're focused on their kids and their work isn't getting the attention, or they're just tired and they're not paying attention to themselves. This is hard, and this is, none of us are thriving at this right now. And so I want us to just give ourselves a little grace with all of this, that nobody's been here before, and it's okay that we're all struggling. And if we weren't struggling, I'd be a little concerned.
Yeah, there's no game plan for this, right? We're all learning at the same time how to do this.
We are all here. Yeah. And I have this crazy desire to just be completely alone. And at the same time, just to see somebody outside of my family, like, can we just hang out with some friends and not with, like, I just need a break from all of it. So I think we're all right there. So the time, I think parents are just feeling so strapped for time. They're pulled in so many different directions. And there's just so much on our plate right now. From work, school, dishes. I mean, the amount of toys that are spread across my house right now is a little overwhelming because my kids they make a mess frightfully fast. Yeah. The time piece of that, I think, is really just knowing that we cannot do it all every day. So some days we're going to be more focused on work. Some days we're going to be more focused on our kids. Some days I think we should just give ourselves an afternoon off to go sit on the couch and watch movies with our families or read a book and just take that break, even if it feels like we can't. I think that it's important that we give ourselves some time to just relax and to be. And I find if I give myself some time to do that, I'm more productive the next day. I'm more ready to dive into my to-do list or to get the house picked up. Or to just really dive into playing with my kids. And I don't think we give ourselves enough space to do that.
Similar to when you work really hard right before you go away on a vacation, and then you go on that vacation so you can just completely forget about work, right? And then you come back and you're relaxed. Mm-hmm. You're able to think more clearly. You feel like everything's a little bit easier because you're more relaxed. You've given yourself that break. So I think what you're sharing just now with, you know, maybe you need to take 2 hours off, go sit on the couch and read or watch a movie with the kids, you know, do a little baking project with the kids, whatever it is, you know, take a hike in the woods. That's always awesome to get outside.
Just
to have that mental freeing, you know, experience for your brain. Your brain needs a break. And I feel like sometimes we try to do so much, we end up spinning our wheels. Because your brain gets overloaded, can only work so hard for so long without just kind of smoking. smoke is coming out of your ears because you're trying so much harder than you have to because you're overwhelmed, you're stressed out, your brain is like being pulled into 5,000 directions because you've got work responsibilities, kids' responsibilities. Husband wants something, you know, meals need to be taken care of. Shopping needs to be done, laundry, and on and on and on and on and on. And because you're in your house, you can't avoid having those constant reminders staring at you. So then our brains are just completely overwhelmed. So get outside, take a break, and come back a little more fresh, you know, so that you can think.
Agreed. I fully agree with that. And I find I come up with my best solutions when I'm not trying to figure them out. If I go take a walk or watch a movie or read a book or just do something, shut the computer off, turn off the phone, just take that break. It's when I come up with all my ideas or a solution to a problem, because my brain isn't trying to work so hard to get there. Then something can come to the surface.
Yeah, and, I agree.
I feel like parents just feel like, well, I can't do that. There are too many tasks I need to do. What if this happens or I don't get this done? Like, just go sit somewhere quietly for even half an hour.
Parents with young kids, but your kids are pretty young, right? How old are they?
They are there, 5 and 7, almost 8. So yes, young. And they've learned since we have been home, they've learned to play pretty well together. I feel like they're both girls. They've always gotten along pretty well, but I feel like that is greatly improved. And some of that is just, okay, mom and dad are working right now and we really just need you to go entertain yourself. And they've gotten really good at that. Yeah. They watch a fair amount of TV as well, but we're working on that. And it's kind of we just need you to go play and take care of that.
And I think a lot of parents want so hard to give their kids a gazillion toys and a gazillion things to entertain their kids, when sometimes, honestly, the best thing you can give your kids is the opportunity to become bored. Because when they become bored, their imagination is triggered and they figure out ways to entertain themselves. But they never get that opportunity in our day and age because there's so much stimulation, most of it tech-centered. Mm-hmm. And even baby toys today, everything's got a battery in it and makes noises. And it's just, there's no opportunity for the brain to like solve a problem or figure things out. Or, I mean, you know, be creative, use your arts and craft supplies and, you know, your recycling trash, you know, to make your doll houses. Remember, I mean, back in the day, you know, we didn't have all these things. So we just created it.
We didn't have all this tech.
I mean, that's not true with you and I necessarily, but we definitely didn't have what the kids have today. And so we did make things out of trash or whatever, you know, I mean, that's an example, but you know, you need the opportunity to be bored enough that you are going to then with your siblings, you know, or your friends, and you can just come up with like, hey, let's try this. Let's do that. Or let's build a fort or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So you need the opportunity though. But if you always have a screen in front of you, you're never going to get to that point. Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Yeah. I think it's just I think that we just feel this need to constantly entertain our kids, whether it's with new toys or activities. And I hope that this pandemic has kind of taken some of that away because we're not doing every activity under the sun. And I've heard from several moms who just tell me how nice it is that everybody's home for dinner all the time and they're not running around and things just feel calmer. And I hope that they remember that feeling as life moves forward and they don't start signing up for everything under the sun, and that they can make family dinners or family breakfasts a thing, and that their kids can be bored and that it's okay. And sometimes being bored just means they're feeling a little disconnected and you just need a 5-minute pillow fight, or to just acknowledge that they are bored. You know, I'm sorry, this is really hard and this kind of sucks. And I'm going to bet that you're going to find something to do if you just give it some time.
They will.
And they'll go do it. And
they will survive.
They'll figure something out. They will survive.
No one ever dies of boredom, right? I mean, you know.
They don't. They will figure something out. And we have to give it time. Like, they might not do it right now, but they will figure it out and give them time. And I think one thing that I've loved about us being home is that my kids have been able to really see what it takes to keep the house functioning. So they've learned a lot more about what mom does for work. And for the longest time, it was just mom had a lot of meetings and like, they didn't know what that meant. And so they've actually crashed several of my meetings, or they're like, I'm working on maybe an online course and they can see that I'm doing what I'm doing. And they know, they just have a better sense of kind of, oh, mom and dad, this is what they mean when they say that they're working. Yeah. Or, you know, we're making so many meals, and we've gotten my, 7-year-old, we've just put her in charge of her own breakfast every day, of just like, mom is going to go work a little bit before you start school and dad starts work. And I need you two to just feed yourself.
Yep.
And it's like putting cream cheese on a bagel. It's nothing complicated, but they can do it and they feel so empowered doing it. And yes, they might make a mess. There are bagel crumbs probably all over my kitchen counter right now, but they made breakfast.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to worry about it. My husband didn't. And they made that happen. And so I think giving them some of those tasks too. And it's not just this crazy, like we have to get out the door. Right. Let's make sure, you know, I'm going to do everything because we need to just get it done this way and get out the door. And I know lots of parents are still, they're sending their kids are going to in-person learning now, or they have somewhere to work. They have to leave the house to work, excuse me. And there's still some of that, but I think empowering our kids to take some of those tasks on.
Absolutely. I'm a big, huge advocate of getting kids on board with responsibilities at a young age. I mean, young. Mm-hmm. There is no reason, you know, like you said, that you're a five-year-old, you can put a bagel or a piece of toast or a waffle in the toaster. Like they're, you know, you obviously you show them how to do it. You tell them what not to do. You know, if it gets stuck, don't stick the fork in there, you know. But it's all about educating them. And yes, it's going to take a little extra time the first two or three times, right? You're going to have to take the time to do that. But after that, you're free. You know, you are free.
Yeah, they can do it.
And, you know, then, you know, you teach them like, okay, when you're done eating, make sure the cream cheese is back in the fridge. Make sure you wipe the counter down. Like it's baby steps with each part of the process. But my goodness, you won't be making bagels for your 10-year-old, right? Because you've taught them at five how to use the toaster.
We've taught them.
With my kids, you know, I talk about this all the time on the podcast, but oh my God, my kids were doing their own laundry as soon as they could reach the buttons. I mean, it was like, I'm not a laundry Nazi. I know some people are really crazy about laundry and has to have it done a certain way. And I just refuse to buy whites for my kids. I don't really ever buy whites for myself. I might have three things in my entire wardrobe that are white. And that makes it really simple to do laundry because everything's colors.
Because you don't have to sort it. Right. Yeah. I quit sorting my laundry a long time ago when I'd sorted it and I had this tiny little pile of white. And I was like, well, this is just silly. And half of it was socks. I'm like, I don't really care if they stay that way. And I just quit. I don't sort and I don't buy anything that needs dry cleaning. Like if it can't just go in the laundry, I will hang dry stuff that needs to be. But otherwise, none of this baby in my laundry.
And then you teach the kids like how to, you know, spot treat your stains if you have them. And, you know, of course they're going to miss them over periods of time, but like the world is not going to fall apart over a stain, you know, unless you're like spending a crazy amount of money on their clothes for some reason. I'm not a label person, so I don't really get into all of that concern with my laundry. Nope. So, but I do think it's very empowering for the kids. You know, when they're at that young age, they do sometimes have the meltdowns because they want to do it themselves. They want to do it their way. And yeah, maybe the cream cheese didn't completely cover their bagel, but they don't care because they're proud they did it themselves. And they're just happy as can be that they did it themselves. And so you can really empower the kids and have them take on the responsibility. You know, it'll be later on down their lifespan when they're teenagers that you're going to have the fight and the battle.
Right.
You know, now it's easy to train them when they're young because they get excited that they get to do things like they're grown-ups and independently in their way, which is what they all fight to do, right, when they're little. And then it's when they're teenagers that they push back.
They push back.
But at that point, they already know how to do it and you just need to get them to get on board.
Yeah. And I think that's so true for so many things. I'm like, I don't love the way my 7-year-old picks up her room or her toys. She just shoves everything in random baskets and then can never find anything later.
Right.
But I'm working on letting that go because she's doing it herself. And so it doesn't, every now and then we'll sit down. I'm like, all right, I'm going to dump this basket out and we're going to go through it and see what belongs in here. And I might go take her on a bigger project to sort through stuff in her room. But for the most part, if she's cleaning it up so that we can clean the floors,
I think that's
really
an important
care.
Point is parents let go of these high standards of perfection. And, you know, maybe, like you said, maybe she's not cleaning up to your standard of how you would like to, but it is her room. It's her stuff. And if she can't find it enough times,
it's her space.
If she can't find her things enough times, and maybe she'll realize like, oh, you know, I have begins with labels. Maybe I should, but again, that's a learning opportunity and it's either going to become a problem for her or it's not. Right. And that's her problem to solve and figure out. You've given her the foundation of, and you taught her, like, here's where the home is for these things. And if you want to be able to find them, this is where you should put them away. Yep. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. And that's what I found with my kids. I used to beat myself up over having such crazy, messy kids. Their bedrooms were like bombs went off, and it made me cringe. I just hated it. And I would go in all the time with them and help reorganize and purge the old stuff, help them set it up and be like, oh my gosh, don't you feel better now? And
it's really that you feel better.
It's all about me, because they were like, I don't really care, mom. And I'm like, oh my God, what? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't tell anybody. I'm an organizer. Like, they can't see your room. People will think I don't know how to do this, but it was me having to learn to let go, because it's their space. And oh, I know, you get the argument of like, well, it's my house and I'm the parent and I want it to look this way. But, you know, that's just a battle you don't need to fight. Like,
it's not, and it's not worth the effort and the time, especially now when we're feeling so strapped for time and energy. It's not worth the battle. And so we've taught our kids. I think that's one thing that's important, to not just tell them to go clean their room. You go in and you help them. And we play like a seek and sort game. And it's, you know, let's pick up all the Barbie dolls and let's pick up all the stuffed animals and let's pick up all the games or the Lego pieces. Our Lego pieces seem to spread from the Lego area quite often. Or just anything little. My kids love to get little things and spread them everywhere. They love to fill purses and bags with stuff. And so we'll start that way. But sometimes if they just want to shove it all in open bins, we'll call it good.
Well, I like that strategy of just like picking up a category at a time, because that can really teach them to sort, right? And then to like, okay, well, this is the category and here's the bin for that category. So let's get it into that bin.
For that.
Again, it's training over time. It's not I'm going to show you how to do this. And then now for the rest of your childhood, you better be able to clean up your room correctly. That's just not reality, because new things are always coming in. You also have to teach them how to let go. That's a real big problem for kids.
That's letting a whole go other,
Some kids, you know, they're just not attached to their things, and that's, you know, okay. But there are a lot of kids who get super sentimental and attached. And I find that more with girls, that they are really attached to their stuffed animals or their dolls or whatever collectibles they might have, whether it's rocks or, you know, little trinkets. I've had clients with little girls who, like, they collected lip balms. I mean, hundreds. I'm like, oh my goodness, that's a lot. So they would not want to like let any of that go. But so that's a process. And I try and encourage my parents, like, just start talking about the letting go. You can't, when they're really little and super attached to things, it's really hard to make them let go if they're not ready. But have the conversation, introduce the concept, introduce why it's good to let go and where your things may be going by letting it go. Like, you could be helping somebody else who, you know, their parents can't go buy the new latest and greatest toy that costs, you know, $80. But by you donating it, that kid might be able to have their parent buy it so much more cheaply. And it's something they may never get brand new, but you're not using it anymore. So why not let somebody else have the benefit of using it, right? So those are important discussions.
Yeah, those are very important discussions. And some of that, there's the letting go piece of it. And my oldest loves paper. She loves to draw. I mean, the amount of papers we have from her, and she's gotten really good over the years. We've worked really hard of, all right, here's a pile of artwork. You can pick your three favorites and everything else has to go. And so now she can do it on her own. I can now hand her a pile of artwork or school papers, like, I need you to sort this. And she might keep more than I would, but that's fine. Or then some boundaries of, we have plastic bins. And like, when this bin is full, you have to go through it. And
then
get
when
rid
she gets older,
stuff.
She'll actually go back in and probably look at some of that older stuff she kept and be like, why did I, you know, she won't care, because she'll be thinking, why did I keep that? It's like scribble or whatever, you know, back in my original, you know, untrained days of art. And, you know, she'll be willing to let it go.
Right.
So that's the other thing that, you know, parents need to understand, is like, they may not be ready to let go of all of a category or as much as, like you said, you would want them to, but eventually you do have to keep going back and revisiting what was kept, you know, and go back and revisit and be like, hey, yep. do you think we can purge a little more out of this pile of stuffed animals? You know, and you've gotten some new ones. Mm-hmm. Maybe some of these old ones would make, you know, a little kid happy, you know, like Beanie Babies. And I've actually donated a lot of gobs of Beanie Babies that a client had, and they were all like with their little tags and they were still all clean, and donated them to the local police station. They call it a safety center here, but because they keep them in their cars for when there's like an emergency, they have these little stuffed animals in their vehicles to offer to a child who might be frightened, and it just gives them that comfort. There are places that you can donate your kids' toys. Your kids can help participate in the donation part of it and really feel good about it, you know, and empower them to let go because they know, especially if they can go with you to donate it, they can see like, oh man, my toys are going to help some other little kid feel safe when they're in this scary situation.
Yeah, I love that. That's such a great idea. Yeah. And that's, and I'm maybe families aren't feeling the need to go through their kids' stuff right now as they're struggling. But those are all things that I think we can work on. And even little by little, like it doesn't have to be, even if you don't feel like you have time, just take 10 minutes and clean off a shelf or a bin and move
through
that.
So you're working from home and your husband also is still working from home. And you have two pretty young kids, elementary age, who are now doing virtual school. Okay, so, and at five, I would imagine there's quite a bit of assistance that you need to provide, or at least in terms of managing their time and making sure they're on the computer at the right times. I don't know how they're, is she kindergarten or first grade? Okay.
Kindergarten.
So that's probably really different, because the seven-year-old is probably on much longer than the kindergartner. So.
Yeah. I actually was looking forward to remote learning and the start of the school year because we needed some more structure in our days and kind of enforced structure. And so I have found this, I'm actually probably getting way more work done now than I was this summer, which has been great. My seven-year-old is fine. She's pretty tech savvy. She actually was teaching me more about their Chromebooks than I would ever have figured out.
Now.
She's like, Mom, do you?
They do.
Yeah. And how, like, I never would have figured out that it's got a touch screen. It's like all these fancy things that I would never have sat down and played with. And so she does pretty well. My kindergartner does need to be reminded when to get back on a class. So she'll have live meetings and then breaks. And then she just wants to go play. And then we use the time timer. Fantastic. We use the time timer for everything around here. So we'll just set the timer. And she gets really mad. I have to say that I'm setting it for me to remind her to go to class. If I set it for her and it goes, she like just, because I don't know what she seems, if she can like magically know that it's 10:30 and she needs to get back on class. I don't know. So the timer's for me.
Okay.
She doesn't think she needs it. So she's pretty easy to get, or to remind, I can remind her to get back on there. And then I have really taken, and I know that this varies depending on where you are in the country and your school districts. I'm coming at this from, I am not my kid's teacher. I am supporting my kids and their teachers. And then it's up to the schools to teach my kids. I'm here to support everybody and help facilitate that process. So I'm not terribly concerned about the quality, like my kids are just, they're doing the tasks that are expected of them, which is obviously much more for my second grader than for my kindergartner. They more just want her on the live classes. And then if she wants to do some of the activities outside of it, she can. So we're trying to get her to just sit. And it might be that I sit on the couch on my laptop and she sits next to me on hers and she'll do a couple activities and I'll work and kind of check on her, or we'll sit down and do something together. So I don't feel the need to be filling my kids' time with educational activities or like just, and I know across the board, there are so many different ways this is happening, from pods and groups. And I mean, there, we could have hours worth of conversation about all of that, but I'm coming at this from I'm here to support, and it's the school's job to teach, and that this isn't homeschooling. This is not like homeschooling is set up so incredibly different than this. For me, this is virtual learning. It's crisis learning. It's remote learning. It's hybrid, whatever it is that's going on in your school district, but it's not homeschooling unless you've officially pulled your kids and you're doing true homeschooling. And I think that shifts the focus, and I want it to take some of the pressure off of the parents. So for our school district, they were very clear of like their intention was that parents were working while their kids are in live instruction. And so I know what times during the day I have where my kids are going to be on the computer and I can usually get some work done. My kindergartner does love to yell 5 minutes into her morning meeting that she needs some water or a snack. And we've started the days now with, you need to sit on this call, and the mom and dad are doing their own thing. We're not going to bring you a snack in 10 minutes. And either have her just bring one in with her, or she can just wait a little while. So I know. And so I've blocked off on my calendar as well a couple of hours every day where nobody can schedule meetings with me, because that's my time to sit and focus on work, because I know that my kids are focused on other stuff.
I think that's a good strategy to try and tie your work calendar around or coinciding with your kids' calendar, so that, because I know, and everybody's doing it completely different, and it depends on your age of your student as well as how long they're on throughout the day, on and off. Like you said, when they're focused with the teacher on their screen, then you could be doing your focus time. And most likely the kids aren't on their screen with the teacher for more than 50 to 60 minutes at a time. Based on the age, I mean, even my high school kids, I think, are only doing 60 minutes, and then they have a half hour of time free to like work on work.
Some breaks
independently. And so I think those are great opportunities for parents who are working, who need to be, you know, concentrating on something, to take advantage of that. And maybe doing the easier things that don't require as much attention or direct conversation with another person in a meeting, you know, to be doing that when the kids are a little more loosey-goosey in their schedule, so that you can be a little more loosey-goosey. But I also like to, you know, point out is that so many of us who are working from home used to, at least in my area, I'm just outside of DC, and so traffic is horrific here. And even though DC, where a lot of people are working, it's 25 minutes from where I am in Northern Virginia, and yet it can take up to an hour and a half to get into DC. With traffic, it's so stinking terrible.
Oh my gosh.
And that's like, I mean, it's just crazy. And so that's the commute home as well. So some people are gaining anywhere from 30 to 90 minutes or more in the morning and afternoon that they are
back
no longer
in their
sitting
day,
in traffic, that they can maybe still get up at the same time they were before, and having that hour and a half commute time as focus time, maybe before the kids are even up. You know, because the kids don't need to be up quite as early because they're not riding the bus to school. They don't have that morning, you know, homeroom and all that wasted time, that, you know, so they can actually sleep in a little. And you've got that window that you can take advantage of, like, oh, no kids. So that's some found time I feel like we should be taking advantage of. If that works for you. And again, like we were talking in the beginning, like there is no right or wrong way to do this. If you personally need that extra downtime to just sit and read a book for enjoyment, take advantage of it, because it's quiet in your house and it gives you a mental break before the chaos of the day starts, or maybe, you know, the end of the day. Use the time, whatever is going to benefit you and how your family is structured and is going to work.
Yeah. And I think part of that too is, and one of the things that I stress in my work is just knowing what tasks you need to do every day. What are the top like 3 to 5 things that you need to do, and knowing when your energy levels are best. So I'm much more of a morning person. If I haven't gotten something big and heavy done by noon, it's not going to be done well, if at all, because my energy just drags as the day goes on. So I try to front load my days with the biggest and most important tasks that I have. And I think that when you clarify that and know what you're working on, and I know not every job, not every person has that kind of flexibility in their day that we're talking about. They might have certain times of day that they have to be on calls and have to be present or on their computer. And so it's taking advantage of that flexibility where you can. And so Laura Vanderkam is one of my favorite time management gurus. And she just she managed to write a book during this pandemic that she released not that long ago. It was an ebook, and she's got like 5 kids under her roof. So she amazes me. But one of the things she talks about is managing by task and not time. So if you're still trying to fill 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week of work, is that by design or because you have that much work to do? Or is it, can we just focus on what tasks have to happen today? And that might fill 8 hours or 10 hours, or is it just depending on how long it takes you to do stuff? So what are the most important tasks that need to happen today and focusing on those?
Definitely.
And I like that that view of it. It just takes maybe some of the pressure off.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times people tend to think of work as like, oh, I have to get this project done by this date, but they need to break that down into the actual tasks, like you're saying, and just like, what's the first task I need to focus on that needs to get done before I can do the second task? And then that, what's the next task? Yep. So not the goal, you know what the end goal should be, but break that down and even work backwards. We're like, if there is a deadline that you need to meet, break up the steps required in order to get to the goal, and then put that in your calendar and find, you know, plug it in to when you know you can have time without a kid around, if you have kids, so that you can really focus your time. And I think, like we were saying right before we got on the call, is that sometimes when your back is up against a wall, you get stuff done. And so I feel like for some parents, and not everybody, of course, but for some people, having that structured, you know, work in their schedule to work around the kids' schedule, because if you have elementary kids, you definitely need to be available throughout the day to help with things. So it really puts you up against the wall, right? To, okay, I have 30 minutes or 45 minutes or an hour to, like, I got to get this done before I have that check-in call with, you know, my team. So I can't let myself go check social media or go get a snack or, you know, have my brain wander off. Right. You know? So I'm like, okay, focus time. Like, that's it. And even using the time timer can help.
That's it,
I love the time timer so much because it's such a visual timer. And if people don't know what it is, I know I've talked about it in past podcasts, but I have a link on my website at enoughwiththestuff.com under favorite things. And it's like the first thing at the top of my list.
It's such a great timer tool.
Where you actually see the time disappearing, which can really help motivate you to be like, ah, oh my gosh, I can see I only got like 20 minutes left. So
focus.
And so I think that's, it's an interesting situation to be forced into for parents, I think, to, oh, it's really thrown a wrench in your schedule and your life, and you're not used to that kind of multitasking with work and family at the same time. But at the same time, for some who like kind of that pressure and those deadlines, it can really help motivate you to be focused.
Yeah, yes, it absolutely does. And knowing that next step, when you know what that next step is in a project or that next task, like, all right, I have 45 minutes. Oh, this list says I need to do X, Y, and Z. I can do this now.
Yeah, and then you're making progress. And that saves a lot of waste of time as well. Having it all broken down so that you're working from that list of tasks, so that when you finish one task, you aren't thinking, okay, what do I need to do next? Like, and then you're wasting time, like trying to reassess the whole project and figure out what the next task is. It's already spelled out. You know what needs to come next. So boom, you're done. Move on. You've got 15 more minutes before a kid needs you, you know, like get that set up and started at least. And then you can, you know, come back and focus on completing. Yeah. The structure I think is really important in this period of time for parents who are trying to do both, you know. It's, I think that structure and time management and calendars, you know, so now do you set up, because your kids are young, do you set up on your, like, a family calendar so you can see all the times that your kids need to be online and what your focus time is? How are you managing this?
You would think that we would have such things put together. So my kids have stuff in their rooms that show where their schedules are. I have blocked time off on my calendar for when, like, everybody in my house has a lunch break from noon to one. So we gather for lunch, sometimes a pillow fight. We're trying to learn Spanish. I'm trying to take the 5 minutes at lunch a day to learn Spanish. We're not doing very well on that right now, but we're trying. So I don't have it all gathered. I'm a paper calendar person. So most of my stuff is on my paper calendars. My husband and I will sit down usually on the weekends and talk about that. Like, I have these meetings, like, for today, for this call. It's like, I really need you with the kids because this hour is important to me and I don't want to be interrupted. And so he's in charge. And so we'll trade off some of that when I need support. So one of us is kind of in charge of the kids. And we don't have a whole lot of commitments outside of work and school right now. So we don't have massive things to take care of or to keep track of. So really it helps whatever works for your family, whether it's an online app or a calendar, paper calendar. Just, we do have one that covers the week of kind of what tasks or chores happen on any given day. That hasn't changed at all. There are so many things out there that you can use as a family. We tend to kind of put things on our wall and then forget that they are there. So like they kind of blend into the wall. So we haven't quite, usually during a school year, my kids will have checklists of here are all the things you need to do in the morning to get out the door. They're pretty, they don't have a whole lot right now other than brush your teeth and your hair and get out of your pajamas.
Oh, parents need that one too.
Probably, right. Yeah. One thing that we have started doing is having, and we started this early on, probably back in April or May, is weekly family meetings. And so that started from realizing we needed to get the kids involved in cleaning the house every week and kind of what that was going to look like. And so the house, we clean half of it every Saturday or sometime on the weekend. And I wrote out on index cards every task that happens to keep the house functioning, from making dinner to laundry, which was split up into clothes and sheets and towels and putting laundry away, so that everybody could see all the tasks that happen around the house. And then we work off of that. For in our family meeting, we talk about like, here are all the tasks that should happen this weekend, from cleaning sinks or mopping the floors or dusting. And then we'll just divvy up among the four of us who's going to do what. And then as we complete the tasks, we can put the index cards away. And we talk about other things during the family meeting too. And you can talk about like the weekly schedule. So what's going on this week? What's coming up? What do we need to talk about? Who needs to be where, when? We cover what went well this past week, what was fun. My 7-year-old usually talks about how she got to eat a lot of ice cream or something silly. We'll talk about what we might want to do differently next week. Like maybe they felt like mom and dad worked too much and we didn't have enough fun time. Can we do a movie night this night? Can we do something? And that goes for the weekend too. We'll talk about what fun things do we want to do this weekend, and we make sure that we tackle those as well.
Yeah, I think family meetings are great. I think it's a good way to give people, to give all of the family members a voice, you know. It empowers them to be, I guess, to just make sure that they are aware that they are part of this family, which means, you know, we all have to help each other. It's not just mom's job to do all of this stuff around the house, right? It's, you know, we all live here. We all contribute to the messes. So we all should contribute to cleaning it up. And that's, you know, how a family works together.
Yeah, we're all in this together. And yeah, absolutely. We all have to contribute. And we've had a few days where my husband and I spent all Saturday cleaning the house and my kids were mad. I'm like, well, you weren't helping. We spent half the day just putting your toys away. And if we had just done it, or we had started it earlier in the week, like I had suggested, we would have had more time for fun. And every now and then we have weekends where we just do our fun stuff on Saturday and we clean on Sunday. Sometimes we're a little more willing to dive in as a family when we've had a day to just play and relax and do that as well. I'm more of the one that wants to get my chores done Saturday and relax the rest of the weekend, but I'm working on that flexibility. But yeah, I think it gives everybody a chance to talk about what they're feeling. You know, how is school going? What's working, what's not, and how can we get better going forward?
It really makes you aware of each other and what they're going through as well, by being able to share. I think it's just so valuable. It teaches a lot of things. It teaches you how to listen to others. It teaches you how to solve problems when there's a conflict in the family or among siblings or having an issue at school. So you're sharing so much during a family meeting. I mean, everyone can set them up differently. It might just be about chores, but it sounds like your meeting is a lot more, you know, because you're talking about what went well this week and, you know, what was fun and what didn't go so well for you. And so you're bringing up an opportunity for the kids, you know, who in a lot of families don't get that voice to be heard, but it gives them a chance to be heard and have everybody learn empathy. I mean, sympathy and empathy, but, you know, so that you can be a good listener and help somebody get through a challenging time or something they're frustrated with and talk it out and learn those strategies for listening and helping. So I like that.
Problem solving. And yeah, and it's a connection point, especially when we're all so busy and everybody's running different directions during the week, to just have that even 5 minutes. My 5-year-old will last about five minutes in our meeting. So they're not these long, extensive things. They're a few minutes long. We have a talking stick. Okay. So everybody, whoever's holding it, knows that that's who we're paying attention to. And when my youngest starts wandering away from the table, I'm like, okay, let's wrap this up. Clearly we're done here. And it doesn't have to be a big
thing. But it gives you a
thing.
Chance to check in with your kids and see like, oh, you know what? Maybe we need to just have an aside conversation with the 7-year-old. And like, she mentioned something and we don't want to get into it with everybody, but we can, you know, at least now we're aware there's something going on. We can pull her aside and check it out, go a little deeper, mm-hmm. more privately. So
yes,
yeah, it's a good opportunity to just hear what they have going on in their little worlds, you know, in their minds, and especially right now when they don't even have the chance to go hang out with friends all day and they're not getting to have so many experiences that they usually have with after school activities and sports and even at school, you know, projects, group team projects and field trips mm-hmm. and things like that. They're missing out on a lot, but I think it's important to focus on what they're gaining. And, you know, I think you guys sound like you're doing a really good job. Your girls are getting along and they're learning how to play together and they're learning, you know, how to be family members that help, you know, and you pull their right. own weight. Yeah. Right. You got to pull your own weight to stick around in this family.
Which is important. And I know so many families just feel like things are probably so different from that. And hopefully from what we've been mm-hmm. sharing, that it's kind of just that shift in expectations yeah. of, our, you know, your house doesn't have mm-hmm. to be perfect. You don't have to be getting every task done every day, that we're just going to take this one day yeah. at a time and we're going to yeah. get through it.
And if anything else from this conversation, if moms can just take away that they do not need to do it all. They do not mm-hmm. need to burden themselves so with everything, especially if they are working and managing kids online. Goodness gracious, mm-hmm. take some stuff off your plate, delegate it to other family members. I think, you know, mm-hmm. maybe in the past, everything did fall on you as a mom to keep the household running. But now, hey, you've got your partner home, hopefully. And if you don't, you know, then it's you and the kids. So you're the team. But delegate to the kids, mm-hmm. like we talked at the beginning. Like Absolutely. There are just so many chores kids can be responsible for doing. I mean, even if it's just unloading the dishwasher, putting dishes in the dishwasher. Mm-hmm. Again, they may not organize it in there the way I would like to have it. You know, because I like to load my dishwasher a certain way. I am funny about that. Because mm-hmm. I want it to be mm-hmm. filled to the Me max, too. But things have to get clean. So it can't be in there just willy-nilly. But but you can teach the kids how you like things set up, you know. And again, like we talked about with mm-hmm. their rooms, like there has to be a little bit of letting go. So moms, just take some pressure off yourselves and delegate a little, scratch some things off your list, figure out what's really important yep. For you and your family. Right? Keep your sanity.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. Yes. I agree with all of that. Well said.
Well, Valerie, thank you so much for coming on today. It's really always so interesting for me to hear how, you know, moms who are working and have their kids at home and trying to help everybody make the world spin. How do you keep the world going right. in your household? So now I know you are offering, you've got some free resources for the listeners. I'm going to be putting a link in the show notes for people to have access to some videos of some of your favorite productivity tips. Do you want to share what those particular tips are on?
They're my favorite ones, from tracking your time. So knowing where your time is going, which I think is incredibly important, and the shifting of your thinking and your expectations, which we did cover today.
I really appreciate your time and sharing how you guys are managing doing all of this.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me. It's been fun to chat with you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, or if you found value in any of the previous episodes, I sure would be grateful if you would leave a rating and a review so I can be found by other listeners. Thanks so much. Oh, wait, don't go yet. One more thing before you do go. If you are thinking of downsizing in the next year or two and are feeling a little overwhelmed with the prospect of starting that process, I would love for you to locate the link to a 7-question survey in the show notes to give me some perspective on what things you are really worried about. And that's it. It'll take about 2 minutes. Easy peasy. Thanks so much. Bye for now.